Jesus this morning. Holy Spirit, I don't care what I've studied. I want to go where you want to go. So I thank you to open all of our ears to hear. You've prepared our hearts as we came into your presence with worship. And now we declare our ears will hear what the Spirit of the Lord has to say to us. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen.
Amen.
I begin to notice after we came on fire with Jesus through the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that there would be people I would see that would get saved and they'd be so excited about Jesus, and then somewhere down the road they would lose their excitement. There would be people then that would get filled with the Holy Spirit, get infused again with an excitement, and over a period of time they would lose it. And we would see people that had been the rock of the church rarely ever come into the church. People that you could always count on to be living for Jesus, hardly mentioning his name. And I began to wonder, Lord, why? What would make us get indifferent? And we've all had it happen to some degree. I have. I know everybody has. But if we understand what is happening, then many times we can bring a change. We have got to guard our hearts with all diligence and protect our hearts from the plan of the enemy, because if he could make our hearts hard towards God, he would do it. If he could make our hearts hard towards the gospel, he would do it. I was asked to minister once in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and there was a young man who came there that one time had been one of those on fire for God, always there. I taught that day on disappointments, and he came down to the front weeping his way back to Jesus. His young son had died at 2 years of age. He had not understood. And do you know what the devil, he does us just like he did Job. If we know we've been living for God, if we know we've been in church, if we know we have said no to this sin, that sin, or the other, and something bad happens, many times, like Job, we conclude, well, it's God. It's God's fault. God didn't protect me. God did something wrong. But God is a good God. The devil is a bad devil.
Yes.
And we live in the world where the devil is still trying to rule and trying to reign. But God has translated us out of the devil's kingdom. He has placed us into the kingdom of his dear son. And that kingdom has new rules. It has new ways to walk. And we have got to become familiar with it and begin to walk in it and walk in the authority that God has given us so that we can see things change. I was at the mall one day, one Christmas, with Daniel and our children, and we had gone into a little Taco Bell that used to be at the mall that our kids wanted to eat at. I had just sat down when I looked out, and there in the foyer was a little girl sitting on a horse that you put a quarter in and it went up and down, and I saw someone grab her arm and she was just laid out in the floor, unconscious. And the Spirit of God literally propelled me out of that seat. I went running out into the foyer, having no thoughts of what I was gonna do. And I came running out, her face is purple, and I knocked this lady out of the way who was standing there with my elbow and slid on my knees, grabbing her little face. And just as these words came out of my mouth, in Jesus' name, child, come to, the devil said, what are you going to do if nothing happens? I was raised in the time, period of time, you didn't mess with the medical thing if you weren't medical. I wasn't medical. But it was too late. I'd already done it. And when I grabbed that child by the face, something happened that has never happened before or since. Electricity went out of my shoulders, from my shoulders, down my arms, out my hands, into that child. And she was literally shocked, I guess, back to life. I don't know. I just know she was purple. And she began to breathe, and she opened her eyes and saw Mommy and said, Mommy. And Mommy grabbed her and said, thank you, Jesus. And I am shaken, like, I mean, literally big shakes, like someone who had just been shocked. And so here's a big crowd all of a sudden. And I back off out of the crowd, get into the taco place, sit down. And Daniel said, what did you just do? And I couldn't talk. All I could do was shake and cry. So we went home. We didn't have tacos that day. And it was 2 weeks before I could even tell anybody. I would shake and cry all over again. And the day that I shared it, I was having a women's conference. And one of the ladies took the tape back to her town and told her neighbor, just listen to what God did to this preacher in Burke Burnett. And the woman listened, came to that point in the testimony, said, oh my goodness, that was my daughter. That was my daughter. And so she came to church the following Sunday night to give her testimony. And here's what we found out. She was raised in a Pentecostal upbringing, she and her husband both. They got into rebellion as young people, and they had left the church, hadn't been back during the time of this girl's life as far as being in the church. They were motorcycle riders and alcohol. They were drinking alcohol. They were doing everything they couldn't do when they were growing up. But what happened that day in the mall brought this couple back to Jesus Christ, brought their lives back to Him. We are living in a new kingdom. And it is the purpose and the will of God for every one of us to get so excited who our King is that we touch lives wherever we go. I'm believing tonight we're going to have what I call a miracle service, where God releases the gifts of the Spirit in our lives. But I believe I have to preach this message for this morning. But tonight I'm expecting something exciting to happen. But first, so I don't forget, young lady who plays the guitar, may I ask what your name is? What? Natalie. I love your spirit. But God says to give you the scripture, Proverbs 28:1. And it, the first part, I think it is, maybe it's the last part, it's only half of it. But it says, the righteous of God are as bold as a lion. Amen. And you need to speak that verse on a regular basis. Because you are righteous, there is a boldness within you that this is going to release. For there's been a cap put upon your, I don't know if it's your soul or your spirit or, you know, it's hard to tell the two apart. Probably your soul. Probably something that happened when you were young, where you got corrected or put down, shut down. But God is going to loose that off of you. And you are going to be transformed like I was. That was the scripture I used to get everywhere I would go. Because I was not bold. I wanted to be. But that fear, intimidation, and God said you're being loosed of it this morning. Amen. And as you claim that scripture, it will be manifest. You don't have to do it. It will happen. Hallelujah. Natalie, is that what you said? Your name? Natalie. Okay. Praise the Lord. When I was in South Africa, I was asked to preach in this church, and I was told that it was in a very dangerous area. I had been told that Americans shouldn't even be over there at that period of time, And especially if they were white and women. It just wasn't the right time to be going to South Africa. And there I was, and they're telling me that they're taking me to the most dangerous place to preach. I get up to preach, and God said to preach on the anointing. I love to preach on the anointing because God always does some awesome things to show his anointing. I had hardly got started, and I became aware there was a spirit of murder in that place. And it was so strong, it was like someone could have jumped up with knives and started laughing. And I stopped, and I said, well, God, what am I supposed to do? And he said, let's confront it. So I said, there's somebody in here that you have a spirit of anger, and that anger is so bad that you actually know that you could kill somebody. And I said, God wants to minister to that. So if that's you, would you stand up? About three rows back, this man just jumped up. About 34 years of age, with anger all over him. And 30 other people stood up too. So it wasn't enough. There was one ready to murder. There were 30. So I said, would y'all come down? God's going to set you free today. You better be bold at that time. So when I went to pray, the one that stood up first was in the middle. And I started at the end. I wasn't going to start with him. I figured he was probably the maddest and the meanest. He looked pretty bad. And about every fourth or fifth one, God told why they had the anger. Now, why God doesn't reveal it to everybody, maybe a lot of people already know. But when I got to the one in the middle, that was who God was after. And he began to prophesy, your anger comes and is tied to the fact that you never knew your father. And you're angry. Why? You never knew your father. And I don't remember the rest, but God so gently spoke to that young man and talked about a daddy issue. Well, what I found out later was his daddy had been murdered when he was 2 years old. The week I came to South Africa, he found out who had done it. It was his mother's boyfriend. She was committing adultery. And he killed the father, the mother and daddy, and lived together. He grew up under them. And his anger was so intense. He had gone out and bought a gun and had two big knives. And he had some of them with him at that time. Well, that young man then gave his heart to Jesus and got filled with the Holy Ghost. And it was after that that he came with the pastor, and they stood there and shared his story with me. And they told me, the daughters were just weeping because they were there too. And they shared how scared of him they had become this last week. And he had told his wife what he was going to do. He was going to kill his mother and kill the man. And somebody had heard me speak the day before in that church. And their worship leader had been healed of a condition that they knew she had with her leg. And she went to a physical therapist all the time. And God had completely healed her. And so they had talked to his wife, who had said, there's a lady from Texas who hears God. Tell him, come to church before he kills anyone. You see, we're all to hear our God. Amen. And it's something we can learn to do. We can learn through listening to other people's testimonies. And we hear them share how they did this or how they did that. And then we go home and we try. Okay, God, I want to see how that works. And people used to tell me I must have come from Arkansas because I had to have it all proved to me. In Texas, most people just accept it, and I'm one of those that wants to see it. But that's okay with God. He wants us to hunger for His ways and to thirst for His ways. I want us to look today in 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel and chapter 6. And we're going to read the first 8 verses. It says, "Again David gathered together all the chosen men of Israel, 30,000. And David arose and went with all the people that were with him from the Baal of Judah to bring up from thence the ark of God, whose name is called by the name of the Lord of hosts, that dwelleth between the cherubims. And they set the ark of God upon a new cart, and they brought it out of the house of Abinadab that was in Gibeah, and Uzzah and Ahio," I probably slaughtered their names, "the sons of Abinadab drove the new cart. And they brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was at Gibeah, and accompanying the ark of God, and Ahio went before the ark. And David and all the house of Israel played before the Lord on all manner of instruments made of fir wood, even on harps, on psalm trees, and on timbrels, and on cornets, and on cymbals. And when they came to Nacon's threshing floor, Uzziah put forth his hand to the ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen shook it. And the anger of God was kindled against Uzziah, and God smote him there for his error. And there he died by the ark of God. And David was displeased, because the Lord had made a breach upon Uzziah, and he called the name of the place Perez Uzziah to this day. And David was afraid of the Lord that day, and he said, how shall the ark of the Lord come to me?" You who were here yesterday, when we spoke, I showed you a word that was translated grief. And I told you, I think it's only translated grief one time in the Old Testament. This is the same Hebrew word. It is not translated what it should be, what it normally is. It's normally translated a red hot anger. But how do they use it with David? Displeased. See, yesterday when Samuel was so angry, they said he grieved. He grieved. He was angry. But they put it softer. Well, here they put it softer. They said David was displeased. But according to the Hebrew word, David was angry. God, how am I going to get the ark back? And this morning I discovered something that hadn't registered before. It had been probably 100 years since the ark had been in the center where the Israeli people were. And so we need to go back and look, where had the ark been? You may remember that when the last priest had sinned and his sons had sinned, he had sinned because he knew his sons were disrespecting the offerings of God and the women of God. And he hadn't gotten rid of them as his priest helpers. Yes. He had allowed them to be there in sin, staying as leadership. And so the Philistines won the battle against them. And the Philistines had stolen the ark of God. And nobody had brought the ark back where it belonged. It had stayed there the entire leadership of Samuel. It had been there the 40 years that King Saul was king. And David had been king at least 7 years over Judah before Saul died. So it had been quite a while that it had been gone. Well, when the Philistines stole this. They took it to the temple of their god, Bray God. They got up the next morning and their god was laying on his face. So they straightened him up. And the next day they came and found his body had broken off. And they got him out of the temple of Dagon and gave him to somebody else. So he went around to they took the ark to different places in the Philippine, Philistine area, and rats began to overtake the land, and all the leaders got a horrible case of hemorrhoids, and people died. And they said, we have got to get rid of this ark. And so they called the magicians, they called the diviners, and they said, what do we do? How do we come out from under this curse that's come upon our people? And they decided that they would make a brand new cart that had never been used, take an oxen that had been a mother, separated from its calf, put her on the cart, and if she took the cart directly into Israel, they would know that was why the curse had been on them. And then they decided they'd better give a sacrifice. So they said, make something out of gold that looks like what you had for your punishment. Made some little hemorrhoids out of gold. Isn't that crazy? And then they made some mice, and they made five for the five different towns that had been cursed through this. And then they just hit the oxen and watched to see where it went. It went straight to Israel. Now they knew, because this was one that had been separated from her calf, that if it wasn't God, she'd want to go back to the barn. She'd want to go back to where her baby was. But because it was God, it went direct into Israel. When it came into Israel, it came to a place where people were out working and they were so excited. Here's the Ark of God being returned. And so they stopped and made a sacrifice to God. Then they opened up the little box and they found these pieces of gold in there, a total of 10 pieces, I think, in there. And somebody got the wise idea, well, let's see what's in the ark. You don't touch the ark. That was the rule of God. They touched the ark and 70 men were killed because of disobedience. And it scared the people so bad that nobody wanted anywhere near the ark. So they talked this one family into taking the ark and putting it into their home, and they dedicated one of the sons to take care of the ark. Well, a very interesting thing happened. It stayed there for years, or for a long period of time. That's where it was. Throughout the time that Saul was king, the ark was in this man's house. And the Bible says this man prospered and was blessed. And there's a beautiful secret here. When God is in the house, there is a blessing. It does not matter what you go through. It does not matter what the devil throws at you. If God is in your house, you're okay. You're okay. And you're going to prosper. We went through a situation where our daughter was in a horrible car wreck. A man who was drunk and probably on drugs, who was never caught and never punished for what he did, came across four lanes and hit her head on, broke her leg. She has a rod in her leg and metal in her ankle, and both feet were broken, but they didn't realize that at the time. And Daniel and I were in Plainview, Texas, and she was in Tulsa and when all of this happened. And we were going to drive straight to get to her. And the Lord told me I had to finish the meeting and I had to pray for every person there. So it was 11 o'clock at night before we took off. But when the devil tried to steal her life during that period of time, God saved her life. So it was sometime later, someone in the church went through a bad situation. And he came over to me and he said, I just want to apologize for something. And I said, what? And he said, when your daughter's legs were a leg was broken and her feet and her ankle, he said, I didn't have compassion for you, for what you're going through as a parent. I didn't understand it till I went through my thing. And he said, I'm so sorry. And it just hit me. I didn't know we needed compassion. God was in our house. God was with us. And even though our daughter had a broken leg and a broken ankle and all of that sort of stuff, I never thought about being upset and wanting people to gather around me or anything. All I wanted was their prayer for her to be restored. I had that. So it never entered my mind. But that's why we need to stay so close to Jesus. Then when things happen that we're not expecting to happen, we're in a place where we can pray, where we can stand, where we can believe God during that time of circumstances. And I sent myself off track right there. Okay, so if we have God in the house, things are happening that are good things. And even though bad things can happen, they're not our destruction. You know, with poor Job, he didn't understand that there's a devil. We knew the devil was after our daughter. She has a call on her life. She's preaching for me this morning. She gave me a phone call last night and she said, Mama, I think God told me to do a prophetic act tomorrow. And she was telling me what it was that she thought God was telling her to do to get the response of the people to the word of the Lord and get them involved in it. And I said, go for it, honey. Well, if the devil could have wiped her out, he would have wiped her out. But God did not allow it. So many years later, King David, who loves God, and here's what I never realized. He had never seen the ark, unless it happened when he was a real little child. He had never seen the ark carried by the Levites. Did you ever think about that? Because the ark had not been there. So David went home and he was angry at God because what he was doing was a good thing. Sometimes bad things happen when we're doing good things. We can try to do something good for somebody and they just yell at us. And they'd be rude to us. And yet our heart was so good. We didn't mean anything by what we're doing. Or sometimes as children come into where their parents are. And we don't know that the parents are in the middle of a big fight and yelling divorce at each other. And in walks a little innocent child and mom and dad yell at them. And the anger and the demonic influence that was in their battle hits that child. And sometimes that child is scarred for the rest of their lives until Jesus comes in and brings a healing. I was one of those children. I walked in the room. My mom and dad never fought in front of us. And we were supposed to all be in the back of the house going to bed. And I had to put my brothers to bed. And by the time I got them to bed, I remembered I hadn't hugged them goodnight. So I came in to hug them. And they yelled at me, get out of here. You're supposed to be in bed. And I said, well, I just came to hug you. And it was, we don't care why. And I made a purpose in my heart. I would never come and hug them again. And I lost my ability to love with that statement. See, sometimes we make inner vows and we have to break them. And it's not till we get serious before God or before God begins to deal with us, to tenderize us, that we even realize what we did. And we have to forgive and release that circumstance, whatever it was, and let it go so that the wholeness of God can come into us. David put he did just what the Philistines did. He put the ark on a new cart. He got a new oxen that hadn't pulled a cart before. So why did God react to David when he didn't react to the Philistines? Let me tell you something. A sinner can do certain things that a Christian cannot do. A sinner is a sinner, and sinners sin. We know that by some of the leadership that have been sinners. And sinners sin. They do some pretty gross things. But when we find Jesus, some of the same things we used to do have to come to a stop. Because now we're under a new law. We're in a new kingdom. You know, I have thought, God, why did David not come with the Levites to bring the ark back? He had never seen the ark carried by the Levites. And obviously, they were not preaching that part of the law. And I felt like God said, there are many parts of the law that pastors today are not preaching. From the 60s, 1960s, there became a fear of saying the wrong thing to us who were school teachers. We were told we couldn't talk about Jesus. We couldn't make the kids memorize scripture like I grew up doing. All the things because of one woman creating a stink caused people to stop being free as Christians.
Right.
And then we got into this thing, you got to speak politically correct. If you don't speak politically correct, you could be sued, you could be arrested, all of this sort of stuff. I read a story this week. A little girl, I think she was 5 or 6, came home from school, and she was just all distraught and in tears. And her mother said, "Honey, what's wrong?" She said, "My teacher told me I'm not a girl. And she told me I'm not a boy, that there's not girls and boys." And I don't know what the new thing is to call them, but whatever it was, she did. She said, "Mama, you got to make an appointment with the doctor so we can figure out what I am." Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know if you're aware of it, but in California, this is what is being taught.
That's right.
In some areas in Texas, if you call someone who calls himself a boy, if you say she, when she wants to be a he, you can be sued and fired.
That's right.
And preachers, if we don't preach that God made male and female,
that's right.
He did not make neuters, yep. He didn't make trans, He made it to be a male and a female. Now, God loves everybody. He saves sinners. There could be somebody sitting in here right now who sees themselves as a homosexual. God loves you. But let me ask you this. If you're sitting here as an adulterer or an adulteress and you get saved, do you expect that person to stop their adultery? Yeah, we all do. If we want to live a Christian life and be an example to the world as a Christian, then we've got to live a holy life and keep that commandment, thou shalt not commit adultery. Well, it works the same for any other sin, sexual sin. When we get saved, we get the Holy Spirit who comes into our life to help teach us the ways of God, the holiness of God, so that He gives the power so we can make the changes that we need to make. And God gives us grace to do it. Sometimes it hurts to separate from the old people. the ones we drank with or the ones we did drugs with. I never did it, but I've watched people who had to make that separation so that they could live a life for Jesus. It may not be easy, but there is a grace there. The Word of God has not changed.
Right.
All of these years, God has not changed. So what's changed? Society. The culture. The culture has changed. But it doesn't change the Word. And doesn't change the Father or the Son. And now they're trying to say it's not a Father. You got to call him just God. You can't make him male or female or whatever. The world is coming to a strange place. And if we're going to walk with Jesus, we've got to do it his way. And I praise God for 1 Chronicles being in the Bible, because I turned over there and I found out, what did David do? You see, we go through things we don't understand. Maybe there's a brutal murder. Maybe there's an attack upon a member of your family. Maybe there's a loss. And we don't understand. We're doing our best to serve God. I had someone get in the prayer line who lived here in Houston. And there had been a flood come. They had stood on the word. They had put the angels around their house. The flood came, and do you know what house it stopped on? It flooded their house, and that was the last one. And they were so devastated. They had lost their place in God. They'd let their relationship go. Why? Because they didn't understand. There's some things we may never understand. Sometimes God in his goodness gives us an answer years later down the road. We become aware of something. Some people put the blood of Jesus around their house in his words. There's no faith in what they're doing. They have a formula. A formula doesn't do anything. And there's a difference. We don't know. I know that when that terrible tornado came to Wichita Falls in 79, we were in Little Rock, Arkansas. Daniel had flown off to Philadelphia or somewhere, and I was home alone. And God had told me to fast and pray all day Monday and all day Tuesday. I obeyed God. And I thought he was telling me to do it to teach a friend how to do intercession. So I had invited her over. We were down on my floor on our face praying in tongues. And ever so often, I would call out my sister's name. And I thought, boy, that's weird. And Daniel got home on the Tuesday night, and he said, Paula, do you know a tornado hit Wichita Falls? I said, no, didn't know. I hadn't had on the TV or the radio or looked at a newspaper because God told me not to. And I didn't feel anything. And I thought, but all the tornadoes go on the other side of town from where my family lives. We turned on the TV, and there was my sister's apartment wiped out. It had come on the side of the town where all my family was. But I saw my nephew on the TV, so I knew he was alive. And we were fixing to have a Bible study. So I couldn't do anything about it, and I think I may have tried to make one phone call, and there were no phone lines to there. But in the middle of the Bible study, we get a phone call, and it's the Red Cross calling for my mother to let me know everybody was safe.
Hallelujah.
She was so shook up, she forgot my married name. And I knew it must have come close. It came so close. God miraculously saved every member and every house. My sister, for the first time in her marriage, and I think she'd been married maybe 12 years, was in the cellar. She always got under the underpass. Everybody under the underpass was killed. She was in the cellar. It was just such a beautiful story of how God saved everyone. And the tornado went up and stop the house before the house that my brother's ex-wife and his two children lived. And if you were to ask my brother, well, was it your faith or your ex-wife's faith that kept your house from being destroyed? She wasn't in it. She was in the neighbors next door that didn't get hit because it stopped right before hers. He would have to say, no, we weren't living for Jesus. But their sister was on her face before God in obedience, not understanding, but just obeying in prayer. And one of our friends said, when I think how many people God saved in your family, and each one with such a unique testimony. And she said, I only knew one person passing through Wichita Falls, and they were killed. And she said, I don't understand. And I said, I can't answer why they died. I can only tell you I was on my face. Amen. And my God told me to be there.
Amen.
And because I obeyed, that's why mine are alive. Yes. I believe it with all my heart. So we see that we can be angry at God and not understand. What if God had told her one friend, don't stop in this town, keep going. And they decided, oh no, I'm tired. You know, there's people who have had wrecks and they knew God told them to stop, not go yet, or wait a while. And they went and they had that wreck. So sometimes there's just things that we don't know. And in chapter 13, verse 11, it says, and David was displeased. Red hot anger. He was mad because the Lord had made a breach. Do you see how he's blaming God? Upon Uzziah. Wherefore that place is called Peruzziah to this day. And David was afraid of God. Okay, now chapter 15 and verse 12 to 14. It says he called him again. And he said, you are the chiefs of the fathers of the Levites. Sanctify yourselves, both you and your brethren, that you may bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel unto the place that I have prepared for it. For because you did it not at the first, the Lord our God made a breach upon us, for that we sought him not after the order. So the priest and the Levites sanctified themselves to bring up the ark to the Lord God of Israel. When God gave the law to the Israelites, he foresaw that there would come a day they would want a king. And it's written in the scripture from somewhere between Genesis and Leviticus, in that portion, he tells them when you have a king, he is to copy the law. He is to copy the law and write it down, and he's to meditate on it every day. If David had have done that, he would have known only the Levites can carry the ark, and the ark must be carried on their shoulder. The ark is never to be placed on a cart. It doesn't matter if it's a new cart or an old cart. Many people get in trouble with God because they compromise. And they say, well, if we're going to get married anyway, it's okay for us to move in together and live together because we're going to get married. They have compromised the order that God has. And there's a lot of other things where we compromise what God would have for us. And in the compromise, we miss God. We know people that are not prospering. And they say to us, but we go out and we feed the poor and we do this and we give money to missions and we do that. But I ask, or Daniel may ask, what do you do with your first tenth?
Amen.
which God calls the tithe. He said, and they'll say, well, I look around to see who has a need, and I go buy them groceries, and I go do this, and I go do that. But see, God does not tell you that you have permission to take your tenth.
That's right.
Amen.
And you decide where your tenth goes.
Amen.
The portion you have permission to take and to take care of the poor and to give extra to the missions is out of your 90%.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah.
And it's out of your 90% that if you take care of the poor, God considers that you have just given to him, and he repays you.
Amen.
He blesses you. You give money to someone that has a need, and God says you give, and it will be given back to you in the same measure that you gave it. And but he says about the tithe goes into the house
Amen.
Of the Lord.
Amen.
Now Daniel and I are responsible. Once we get the tithe that comes into our church, we have a different responsibility what we do with it. The first 10% goes outside our church
Amen.
As a tithe where we give to other missions, where we give to other things. I think we figured out we're 106,000 over what our tithe is. And we rejoice.
Amen.
We rejoice that 10% hadn't been enough for us to
Amen.
Give. We wanted to give more, and God takes care of us and takes care of the people because we're doing it God's way. He gets the first 10%, and then we just try to outdo him, and you can't outdo him.
Right.
You know, there's just a lot of people have a need, and there's a lot of missions we want to give to, and sometimes I'd rather give to certain places than have to go. So we have some missionary friends trying to get us to go to India, and we keep saying, no, God hadn't told us, but we'll send you. And so we do. We're very good. But David began to meditate. He began to search to see what was the way of God to get the ark back. You see, he didn't give up his heart's desire. His heart's desire was to bring the presence of God to Jerusalem. To bring the presence of God in our house, in our homes. If things have not gone the way we want them to go, if our heart's desire is to still have a home where Jesus is Lord, and where the glory of God can be in our house, then we have to keep seeking God. God, where am I missing it? Or what do I need to do? Where is it, God? Because I know it's not God. I know God wants his glory in my home.
Amen.
And as I begin to search, many times I see things that I need to change. Or something I need to forgive, or something I need to confess and change. Many times it's me. And sometimes it's just keep believing. Keep believing. Keep believing. God is faithful. Sometimes it's learn how to do intercession. When we learn how to pray in the Spirit. I was raised in an area that our county voted that you couldn't serve liquor in our county. My mom and dad made a rule, you don't have liquor in our house. And so I'd never touched liquor. I'd never been around it, and I forgot why I was going to tell you. It'll come back in just a few minutes. Okay. Oh, Jesus, I must have gone the wrong route. Oh, no, I know what I was going to tell you. And so one day my brother came in at Thanksgiving with all the family there. He came in drunk. And he was rowdy. He was loud. He was rude. And my mother was just devastated. And she was a quiet-spoken, sweet lady. And she just didn't know what she was going to do. And we had just begun to find out that we had authority in the new kingdom of God. And I took Mama's hand and I said, Mama, come with me. And we went to the back of the house where nobody was. And I said, Mother, we don't have to put up with this. We have authority over the spirit that's on him. See, the Bible says we don't wrestle with flesh and blood.
That's right.
And sometimes we need to stop yelling at our mates, stop yelling at our kids or our grandkids. Go in the other room and take authority over the devil that's messing with your family.
Amen.
And then see what happens. So we went in the other room. I grabbed Mama's hand. She was a Baptist, didn't yet know about everything. And I said, Mom, we've got authority. You just got to agree with everything I said. She was ready to agree with anything if it would change that circumstance. By the time we got out of the back room into the front room, my brother was sitting on the couch purring like a kitten. You would never know he had drunk. There was no evidence. His personality was calm. Just as if God yanked it all out. It made a believer out of Mama for what we saw. So sometimes that's what we need to do, to find out how are we going to get this change? How are we going to bring it? But God, the big thing, God wants us to know he hasn't left us. But when many of us go through trials, we leave him. When we don't understand it, I don't know if you know who Terry Law is. He was, you would know, he brought the gospel into communist countries, smuggled Bibles. He was the one that had prayed with Pope John, the last, let's see, he would be three back, I guess, Pope John Paul, who accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior and got filled with the Holy Ghost through the ministry of this man. And while he was in Russia, his wife was killed in a horrible car wreck. And his testimony was the emotion he felt. Why, God? Why did you? Why did you let this happen? I was doing your work. I was doing what I was supposed to do, and I expected you to take care of my family. And praise God, he had a friend in Oral Roberts. Because Oral had lost two children. And Oral said, you know, let him know, I understand the questions that come. And he said, but son, you go home, get in your bedroom and get on your knees and don't get up till you can raise your hands and just praise. Amen. Just praise. He said, there's some things we don't understand, but he's a good God. God is a good God, and God never sins. He never sins.
Amen.
You just keep praising him until you're free. And I heard his testimony where he said, if I remember correctly, it took all day. It took all day. Sometimes we have to cry, and that's okay. Sometimes we're getting a lot of deliverance when the tears come. But we're letting go of the hurt, the sorrow, the feeling of being abandoned, the fear of the feeling of not being supported by God or whatever. And as this happens, as we take care of it, our life has changed. We're to be a peculiar people. This is a peculiar people. We don't go to God like the world does. We don't respond to God like the world does. We respond like the word and like the testimony of Jesus tells us to. I want to share one last testimony with you. I met a young woman at Women's Aglow many years ago, and she had just gotten the baptism of the Holy Spirit and just moved to the area. So I was the first person that she met, and we became friends. And she came over to my house, and I was so excited about God. I was telling her, this had happened, and we saw these miracles, and God had lengthened legs, and my daughter had been born with a short leg, and God took it out. And, you know, I was just excited about all that God did. And to get to the story I want to tell you, she called me sometime later. And she said, Paula, would you mind going with me to my sister-in-law's house? Said every year she literally goes crazy and she's put in a mental ward or hospital for a period of time. And she is feeling the buildup coming. And she said, I know you hear God from what you've shared with me. Would you go with me to pray? So we traveled. I guess it was a 2-hour drive to get to where she lived. Well, the first thing I did was check to see, she was a beautiful 27-year-old lady, to see if she was born again. And she said, well, that's what my preacher did. He decided I couldn't be saved to act like I do. Because she would get so angry that they thought she was now dangerous for the family. But I asked her, she believed in Jesus. She believed he was her Savior. She believed he had died and had been raised from the dead. She met all the requirements. She had asked him to come into her life to be her Savior. And she had said, I don't want to be angry. And I said, I believe you're saved. I said, I believe we've got a different problem. So let's just pray and see what God would show us. And so I said, Father, did anything happen to her when she was in her mother's womb that's affecting her right now? Silence. So I said, well, what about when she was a year old, God? Silence. What about when she was 2? I got to 4 and I see a vision. I see what looks like the story of Goldilocks. I see Mama Bear Chair, Papa Bear Chair, and Little Baby Chair. And I said, so were your mother and your daddy and you a family together when you were 4? And she said, yes. And I said, did you love your daddy? Did you get along good? And she said, yes. And then I went on, I guess, 5, and I saw Papa Bear's chair was broken. Or removed. I think maybe it was removed first. I'm not 100% sure. But anyway, I found out he left the family at that point of time. Then I saw his chair broken, destroyed, and he had died. And God showed what year each of those things happened. And then we went on a little further because I wasn't seeing anything. I was just praying. Each time God showed me something, I prayed for healing. Healing of her soul, for everything, her mind, her will, her emotions, any inner vow or anger over these incidents, that God would heal it. And then when I got to when she was 17 years old, I said, did somebody die? She said, yes, my brother. And I said, oh, now I know what the problem is. You're mad at God. And my goodness, she made my hair go straight. Almost lost my perm with the anger that came out of her at that moment. She said, yes, I murdered God. And the rage began to come up in her that they had told me about. And I'm sitting there saying, greater is he that's in me. Because I knew I was no match for what was coming on her. And she kept taking big, deep breaths, trying to calm down. And she said, he was the only good thing in my life. Her mother had remarried to an alcoholic. The alcoholic had beat her. She had lived a horrible life. Her brother would come in between the husband and her to protect her from the beatings. And this only protection that she had died in a car wreck, and she was so angry at God. That happened at 17 for 10 years. Once a year, she had been in the mental institution, and it always was happening at the reunion, or not the reunion, but the date, anniversary of his death. And this was happening. And what I said is not theologically right. But I said to her, you have to forgive God. See, really, we don't forgive God because God never sinned.
That's right.
But if we think that, sometimes we have to take somebody through that step. So she was able to do that. And then I explained to her, now what you've got to ask God is to forgive you, that you blamed him. And the scripture God gave me was John 10:10. The thief comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. But I have come that you might have life. And I said, it wasn't God who came to steal and to kill and to destroy. Jesus knew that this day would come. You had to know who killed your brother. And I said, here it is. Jesus himself spoke this word. And he said, I came that you might have life. Well, it was sometime later. I just felt compelled to call her. And I said, would you meet me halfway? There was a McDonald's at the 60-mile mark. When she walked in, I almost did not recognize her. She was so beautiful, radiant, and stately. And she came in and we sat down and she said, you don't know how important to me it is you call me to meet you today. And I said, why? She said, today is the anniversary of my brother's death, and I am whole. I am not angry. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now I know that many of you may have incidences that you didn't understand. Some of you have buried them, and you've gone on, you've made it, but it's like a cat that holds you down from the full joy of the Lord that the Lord would like to have you to have. And I believe there is an anointing here to set us free. Amen. So I'm going to ask you, if you would like prayer, if you would come down here, if we could move this. And I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to touch you. God says we're anointed to lay hands on people. And I believe for deliverance, it happens. I have testimonies all over the world of what God does through that simple act. That's my act of obedience, is to pray and to go and to believe when I touch you. You are being released from whatever is holding you. I don't ask you to tell me your story. I hear the stories later. When you're so excited that life has changed, you want to tell. And you can let me know then your testimony. But anyone who would like prayer, would you come and line up here and face me, but go in a line because I can move faster if I go down the line. Okay? Hallelujah. 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 Are you her other half?
I am.
I have fallen in love with your daughter.
Me too.
Praise the Lord. And you are a beautiful young lady. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hi. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. I don't know any of y'all. I don't get here in fellowship with you, not because I don't love people, but my gift is to move by the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And if I sit down and fellowship and know you, then I know your stuff. And then you don't know if I'm of God or not of God. So I keep myself away for that purpose. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I don't know if God is going to prophesy or if he's just going to let me lay hands. But whatever it is adequate. And we just release our faith at that touch, at that touch. Now, I know some about you because I prayed for you last time. Okay. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, is this everybody? Okay. Heavenly Father, I come before you now with these precious people. And God, just as King David thought he was doing so good, but he wasn't doing it right.
And he didn't understand God. And it seemed like there his heart was right. Everything was right. But in your eyes, it wasn't. And God, we have things happen in life that we don't understand, just like David. And Father, I just pray that you take each of these people into that secret place with you where you begin to show them why things happen. God, just like you showed me that my folks had been in that horrible battle between them, and I made an inner vow. I made an inner vow. That's how I reacted to their anger. God, I pray if there are similar things, whatever it might be, if they lost a loved one, whatever, God, you show them you're a wonderful God. You never fail. You love us. But bad things do happen to good people. Father, I thank you. I believe that as I touch them, deliverance shall take place. Now, Father, I take authority over every spirit of anger. Anger, I break your power. Anger over the circumstance. I command you to loose these people right now. All anger, come out in the name of Jesus. All grieving, you come out with it. All sense of loss, come out in Jesus' name. You loose her right now in the name of Jesus. All anger, let her go. Let her go right now. Come out of the pit of her belly right now. In the name of Jesus, I order you out in Jesus' name. Father, I loose her from the words of the devil that would make her think, if you'd have been more perfect, if you'd have done this, if you'd have done that, you liar of hell, shut your mouth and get out in Jesus' name. Father, I loose her into the place where the dunamis of Almighty God begins to flow into her mind, into her soul. Father, where the fight of God begins to rise up and say, devil, it may look like you won. It may look like you defeated me, but I'm going to defeat you. I'm going to stand in the gap for others, and I'm going to see them set free in Jesus' name. Every spirit, you let her go right now, right now, right now. All disappointment in self, disappointment in life. In Jesus' name. Now your personality isn't like hers. And what hit her didn't hit you in the same way. And that's okay, because you're different. But sometimes you just have to hold. Just have to hold. For God is doing a mighty work. And it's his plan to bring the two of you together in such a way that you are going to touch the lives of others that are going through similar situations. And you're going to know how to give them hope. How to give them hope. Hallelujah. 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 Now I command all abnormal grief, you come out. Every spirit of grief that came in behind true grief, you let her go and come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, I break the power of any anger. I loose her right now in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you for the spirit of revelation to begin to flow. The understanding, God, for dreams, for visions, where she will begin to see and to understand and to know. For God said, I shall anoint you, and you shall pray for others, and you shall minister. For the sweet spirit that's within you shall cause them to feel like God himself has entered the room when you begin to take their hands and to pray. The things that the devil has hit you with, he is going to anoint you in that area and many other areas to help other people through the hard times and into the place of victory. So when you walk out, hold your back straight and say, devil, you thought you won, but you didn't. you didn't. I'm just coming into a new anointing. And it'll almost be like, well, thank you, devil. Because I'm going to be who I am. Because I walked through my circumstance. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, I break the power of every spirit of anger, every spirit of loss, everything that would make her feel that God didn't love her. I break the power of that right now in the name of Jesus, and I loose her, Father God, into the precious arms of Jesus, in the precious arms, for his arms have upheld you for many years. He has been with upholding you. And when it's felt like you might fail, he caught you. He caught you. Though I fall, I will not be, what comes next, left down? For anyway, he picked you up. He's been picking you up. But he's bringing you into a place of awareness. And that awareness is going to bring a total healing for you. When we don't have that awareness and we can't figure it out, we don't understand it, sometimes it's hard to come to a place of wholeness. But God said, this day, I prepared your heart to hear. And because of an awareness of things, God is going to be able to take you to the other side with a full place of victory. But most of all, he wants you to know his deep love for you, that you are precious. You're precious to God. Amen? Amen. In the name of Jesus, Father, I loose her from all anger, from all misunderstanding, Father, from all the things that didn't make sense. In Jesus' name. Father, I break the power of the hurt, the rejection and the wounds. And I ask for the anointing to go to bring healing. Father, in the name of Jesus, I break the power of every spirit of anger, all grief, all misunderstanding. Father, there are some things that are just so deep and the pain is so raw. But your oil comes in, Father God. And for me, it was like oceans of water that flowed from my feet to my head and brought healing. God, let healing flow today for my little sister, Lord. Let those disappointments be healed today. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. God says, no, you're never alone. Sometimes those are your words. But God says, no, you're never alone. He's always there. He's your best friend. Sometimes you feel like he's your only friend, but that's okay. As long as friend Jesus is with us, we can make it through the circumstance. We can get over to the other side of the river. And sometimes when we get on the other side of the river, there's such a joy there that those who hadn't come with us before find a way for God to get them over there too, because they want what we have found. God said, you're going to find a joy that's going to cause those that are not coming with you to suddenly come with you. Now just put your eyes on that promise and begin to praise him and thank him for it. For you have a new day coming. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, Raki Kajaladakia. Oh, Baba, Sia Bela, oh, Kikabaya. Oh, Raki Kadara, Sirakia. God, I break the power of every spirit of anger, every spirit of grief, every spirit that's made him feel abandoned or made him feel less than precious. Or has made him, God, just accept life. That's just the way it is. That's just my lot in life. And I say no. Amen. I pull down the words of the enemy and I strip them from his mind. And God, I loose the dunamis of God to flow through him right now, to bring complete healing to every circumstance that the enemy would use to rob him of the fullness of joy being your child. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, I break the power of every spirit of anger, every spirit of loss, everything that comes at her to make her feel that restoration will never come. There's different ways of God's restoration. And God, I just loose her into that confidence and that ability, Father, to flow with joy, knowing that you are doing a mighty work. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. God, I ask you to heal the wound. For God, she's gone on with life. She's given of herself. But Father, still right here. It's like a knife has been there. And we ask you to pull it out and bring total healing today. That it shall be nothing but a testimony, almost like one for someone else. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Father, I thank you for this gentleman. Father, in the name of Jesus, I break the power of any spirits of anger, rage, murder, resentment, or bitterness. Any of the emotions that come into men sometimes, God, when as boys, they have to deal with things that they're just not big enough to do any different. They're not tall enough. They're not heavy enough. They can't win the battle. So, Father, I break the power of that that's been buried within him for all these many years. I break every tormenting spirit of the past. I command you out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Father, I ask for healing. You know, I don't know what I see, what it means. If I were interpreting it, I would say you probably were bullied some as a young boy. And it caused you to push down certain things on the inside, even the anger. Because if you displayed it, it would cause a reaction. But God is taking out something right now that relates back to what would look like an 8-year-old, 6-year-old, 8-year-old boy. And God's taking that wound and that hurt, and he's releasing you. And Father, I thank you for the joy of the Lord to take its place. And God, I ask for this man that you might raise him and pull him into a place of being a mighty warrior, that he might be a watchman on the wall who can stand and see that same enemy, because he'll recognize it, God, and he'll be able to pray and intercede and come to the place of battle and help another person have a victory. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name. Jesus' mighty name. Father, I thank you for this lady. I thank you for the anointing of the Holy Ghost that flows into her body. Father, I break the power of every wound, every hurt, Father God, that has resided within her. And God has caused her to seal it over where it's like a thorn within her. It's always trying to get out and always causing problems. Father, I break the power of every familiar spirit that comes to remind her of certain issues. And I command this spirit, every spirit of witchcraft, voodoo, and sorcery. I pull you down. I destroy your works. I order your words broken and destroyed from her life in Jesus' name. God, we call forth healing and restoration. And God, you are a good God. You are a good God. For you love us. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you in line next, sir? Father, in the name of Jesus, I break the power of all anger, Father, all grief, all things, God. There are things that he doesn't understand. He can't figure it out. God, he's laid it aside, but it's still stopping from walking with a skip and a jump to his walk. So, Father, I thank you for the release today. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Ora sidilidiki kadara. Imalabasidrahia. Father, I thank you for your goodness. I thank you for your faithfulness, Father. You are faithful. God, though we might not be faithful, you are always faithful. And so, Father, I just thank you to open her eyes, to count her blessings in a new way, and to see it in a new light. For God, how mighty you are. How mighty you are. I thank you, Father, that she's being released today from any hidden anger and any inner vows. I break the power of those vows. Well, I will never. And God, we pull it down. And we say, we will be what you want us to be. In Jesus' name. We will forgive. We will love. For you are love, God. In Jesus' mighty name. Father, I thank you for this young man. Father, I thank you that his heart's desire is to be like Jesus. But Father, he doesn't seem to know how to get to that place. He doesn't even know how to have the relationship that he wants. And Father, it can look to other people like we've got it, but we know when we don't. So Father, I pray that you remove every barrier from him, and whatever door he's to kick that's already unlocked and say, I'm going out of this jail. Father, I thank you for it this day. And Father, I thank you to cause your word to become alive, to burn like a fire within him until the joy of the Lord is truly his strength. Father, I loose him from the grieving that goes on within him, the feeling of abandonment. I break that right now. All abandonment, you loose him. I command the hurts to release him. Those that are attached to him with fingers, I say, come loose. Come out right now. God is a good God. And God loves me. God loves me. God, that will be his testimony, how much my God loves me. Father, I break the power of every spirit of shame or humiliation. You release it right now. Come out. Come out. All rejection, come out right now. In the name of Jesus. God says to tell you, you're a good son. You're a good son. You have the lies that have been spoken. In Jesus' name. Ora sidi litikia. Come la bakia. Father, I break the power of every spirit of anger, every spirit of rage. I say, devil, you're not going to operate through her in the name of Jesus. You're going to let her go right now. Your time in her life is over. Now come out. Come out. That builds up within her until it just explodes. We say it. It's enough. It's enough. That's right. It's enough. Father, we go back into her life. And we thank you for the dunamis, the power of the Holy Spirit, to begin to go like a Holy Ghost eraser, to erase those terrible, painful times, Father. When she was forced to put a smile on her face and her mouth sealed, and bring healing to those times, Father. Set her free of those wounds. Father, it's like there was an inner vow that one day I'll be free to say what I want to say. But God, that's not what she wants. So I thank you for your release right now, your healing to flow through this sweet lady. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Father, she gives you her tongue. She gives you her tongue today. I thank you for the release of every negative spirit in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. You know, we have to work hard to control certain things that want to come out. And it keeps us tired. But God said he's going to take you out of that place. For he's sending healing deep down. And when you were under an authority figure that kept you under his thumb, and that's where the creation of so much of this turmoil has come from. You've learned you had to keep your mouth to. You had to whatever. But there's anger there. Yeah. And we just command that anger to go right now. Just let it go. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Father, this is her day. This is her day, God. A complete work. It's coming all the way out. All rejection. Rejection, you let her go right now. Right now. You come out, rejection. You're not going to stay in there. You're going to come out right now. In the name of Jesus, come all the way out. She's precious. She's precious. She's precious. And God, those that put her down were wounded themselves. They didn't know how to love. They didn't know how to walk in authority as Jesus would have walked. And Father, she suffered. But I thank you she's being set free today. Hallelujah. God says there is no shame. There is no shame. You are free. You're free. You're in a place with a beautiful testimony to come forth. And what the devil has done to subdue your life and to keep it in bondage is going to be the thing that kicks doors open for other people. Okay? Hallelujah. Oh, Father, let that anointing flow. Let it flow. Let it flow. Let it flow. In Jesus' name. Prayer, God is all over you. It's Holy Ghost. Yes. She knows something is. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh,
there's anybody else who wants prayer? It's not too late. Come on up. Just make your way up to the front. Let the Lord touch you.
Oh, hallelujah. He gives me a story to tell you. When Daniel and I got married, he thought that I just didn't think good. Because I could never see it his way. And when I went to college, I had the opportunity to pick any subject and do research. And I did it on the brain. I found out I was as severe left brain as anybody could be. And he was as severe right brain. And he couldn't figure out where I came from. I couldn't get to where he was. I had to go layer upon layer. He saw the whole thing, just didn't know how he got there. And when God began to show it to us, it caused us both to come closer to the center. And I see that you've been in places with, you shared your mom, very outgoing, very full of personality. And there's the other end of the match, the one who's the quiet one, who's whatever. And God said to tell you, this day, he's bringing you into that place. He said he's not going to bring you over to that full exuberance, that step that belonged to mom. But he's going to bring you in the middle to the place that he has for you. And he said that will keep you connected to those over here and connected to those over here. And you're being healed of the wounds that have kept you held down. You're being loosed today. And God said, in the days to come, you're going to remember things, but you're going to remember it correctly. There were some details that you didn't quite see before, and you're going to see it now, and you're going to think, well, it really wasn't quite like I saw it, God. And release is going to come. Every time the truth comes, we are set free. So I thank you, Father, for that anointing. That anointing. As the dunamis of God is released through her soul today, Father, to go through her mind and her memories and her emotions and even her will. In Jesus' name, God, where she stopped herself and said no further, she's loosed, God, to say whatever, Lord. There we go. There we go. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. There's going to be times you walk in that anointing over there, and times you have to walk back in that one. But it's all okay because you're whole.
Amen.
You're whole.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Several people I'm believing for, one was a family member about the homosexuals. I was praying much, and this morning it really came up in my heart. I can't think of any of the other things that we're talking about.
Okay, Heavenly Father, we lift up these. And God, you love these people and her family. You greatly love them. But Father, when we come into the kingdom, we make changes so that we are in your plan, your way, your order. So Father, show her how she can pray, what she can say, and what she can do. And God, we ask for these family members or member, whichever it is, God, that this person come to know Jesus as Lord and Savior and the lover of his soul. And Father, bring the changes that need to come in Jesus' name of her, in her life, Lord. In Jesus' name, I thank you. Thank you for the anointing, for the perfume of Jesus to flow out of this lady, God, wherever she goes. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Thank you, Father.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. Okay.
God. Well, thank you, Dr. Burt, so much. Pastor Daniel, we're just so blessed to have him. Let me say this to those that receive prayer today. Sometimes you leave the altar, you may or may not feel any different. But the word that was spoken over each one of you here is the word of God.
Amen.
And the word will bear fruit in your life. So you go back to your seat, not feeling different necessarily, but believing that God has done exactly what he spoke through this dear woman that he's doing in your life. Amen. So you receive it by faith is what I'm saying. You take that promise. You take what was received up here by faith and you take it home and you war with it. You literally go to war with it because guess what? Tomorrow, you got an enemy coming knocking on your door trying to challenge you with what you received here today. So you go home armed and ready to say, I have it. I have it. What God said he gave me here at the altar, I have it. And you take it home with you by faith. Amen? You with me?
Amen.
You take it by faith. You don't take it by feelings. If you felt something, I like it when the feelings come too. It's great. It's great when the feelings and the impartation come together. That's a wonderful thing. But the feelings aren't always there. So we take it by faith. Amen?
Yeah, amen.
Isn't God good?
Yeah.
I tell you, I could just sit at the feet of Jesus all day and just watch him transform lives. It's just nothing better, nothing more exciting to watch. Well, listen, if you didn't get prayer this morning, and if you you say, well, the Lord didn't speak directly to me today, but come back tonight. We don't always have a Sunday night service, but tonight we're going to be back at 6 p.m. right here. And we're going to unleash more of the same. Amen. The Holy Ghost is going to be here to continue his work. Come expecting, come comfortable, ready to stay a while and just sit at the feet of Jesus. And tell your friends, if you have some folks that are tied up this morning with their own church, maybe they're free tonight to come out. We want to welcome them back. I want to leave you with this verse of scripture from 1 John 3:8. It says of Jesus that the Son of God came to destroy the works of the evil one. The purpose for Jesus coming was literally to break up. That word destroy, when you look at it in the Greek language, it gives the picture of something being dissolved, something that's grouped together being broken apart. I love that. The Holy Ghost, Jesus, comes to break up. You know, sometimes the enemy just packs things into our life. He packs things down inside us, and it just becomes like a, you know, like a clogged pipe. I told you the story recently of how I had to unclog my shower drain. It was a real nuisance, but hallelujah, it's flowing great now. And I'm telling you, listen, when Jesus comes and he breaks those things up from your life, life can happen. Life can happen. We have trouble in the human body when our arteries get congested. And Satan comes to congest us spiritually speaking. And Jesus has come, the Son of God manifest, to break up those clots, to break up that stuff in our life that's just stopping us up. So if you didn't get something this morning, you just come back expecting tonight. Tonight may be your time. The Holy Ghost, see, he moves in different ways. Every service, isn't that right? Some services is disappointment. Sometimes it's rejection. Sometimes it's a bitterness, whatever. The Holy Spirit pinpoints. He's like a surgeon. Today I'm working on this. Today I'm working on that. So tonight may be your time. So come back tonight expecting. We'll see you back here at 6 p.m. God bless you as you go. Thank you for coming. Amen. Amen.